Well, good morning. Good to be here today. Hadn't really planned on being here today until Friday evening, and that's when I got Dave's email. Sorry to hear that your pastor's not feeling well. I trust that he will get over whatever he has soon. Let me move that out of the way a little bit. And in fact, there must be something going around. My wife and I were sitting on the front porch this morning eating breakfast, and heard the phone ring in the house and ran in real quickly, and it was another church that called. And they said, our pastor just called, and he's sick. He's got the flu. Can you speak this morning? And I said, no, sorry. And so something's going around. And in fact, Jewel suggested maybe I wash my hands after I touch the pulpit this morning so I don't get that. And nonetheless, it's good to be with you. We all enjoy coming down. I'd like to talk to you about faith this morning. We all have faith, obviously, or you wouldn't be here today if you didn't have some measure of faith. But you know that all faith will not save you. And so we want to talk about the essence of faith this morning and what that really means from a biblical perspective. I heard a story a number of years ago. Whether it's true or not, I'm not sure. I heard it as a true story. It seems that decades ago, you know, used to be a lot of people liked to walk across Niagara Falls. And if you're an older person, you may have seen some of those where they'd stretch a high wire across and they'd walk across, and sometimes they'd ride bicycles across. I'm not sure if they still allow them to do that, but it used to be a pretty popular thing to do. On one occasion, there was a man who pushed a wheelbarrow across Niagara Falls, the story goes. And there were crowds on both sides of Niagara Falls, and they were just cheering him on as he pushed that wheelbarrow across. And when he got to the other side, I'm not sure which side he was on, the American or the Canadian side. Nonetheless, he said, how many of you believe I can take that back? And everybody cheered, and they all thought he could do it again. And he said, who would be willing to get in the wheelbarrow and let me push you? And no one responded. You see, the difference in having faith in something and having faith in something to the point where you're willing to commit your life to it is really quite a different thing, isn't it? You can believe in something, but there's a little hesitation. And the story goes that there was one individual who stepped forward and said, I believe that you can. And he actually got in the wheelbarrow and pushed him back across. That's real faith, isn't it? And those who put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, we're trusting in Him completely, aren't we? We're not trusting in anything else. We're not holding on to a ritual or the fact that I signed a card at a revival or not trusting in baptism. All those are good things or can be good things, but those things won't save you. And if we're holding on to that rather than putting all of our trust in the Lord Jesus, then I think you have a flaw in your faith, because we trust in Christ and Christ alone to save us. I have nothing good to offer, nothing that God would ever be pleased with. In fact, the scripture says all of our works are as filthy rags, or all of our righteousness is as filthy rags, Isaiah tells us. So let's take a look at the essence of faith and see what the scripture has to say about that. We have a passage in Hebrews chapter 11 that really is the definitive passage on faith. As I was thinking about this morning, I trust that your pastor hasn't been here in the last year or two. And having heard Pastor Brandon speak, I know he's a quite capable speaker, and he's been here long enough. And he's probably told you everything that you need to know. So anything I would say would only be to reinforce something he's already taught you. Nonetheless, we pray that God would encourage us from this passage. Let me read for you verses 1 through 7, and then we'll go back and make some comments. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. I'm reading from the New American Standard. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts. And through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this portion of your word, and we pray this morning that the Spirit of God would quicken our minds and help us to understand what you're saying through your servant who wrote this portion of your word. And we pray that at the end of the message that we would all be encouraged, knowing that our faith is solid and real as we walk with you through this life. And Lord, we would offer up a prayer for Pastor Brandon, trust that he would be back to normal just as quickly as possible. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now you might be wondering why I stopped reading right there. You know that the Hebrews chapter 11 is really the chapter on faith. And years ago when I preached through the book of Hebrews, that's where I stopped, because in verse 8 it starts with Abraham, and there's quite a lengthy section about Abraham there. And that's a whole nother message for a different time. So let's look at verses 1 through 7 and see what we can discover about faith. And I trust that it'll be an encouragement to you this morning. I like, even though I don't use the NIV, and if you do, that's fine. It's not my translation of preference. But I do like the way that they have translated verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 11. Let me read what the NIV translates. Sure of what we hope for. That is, faith is sure of what we hope for. Certain of what we do not see. I like that because that's the gist of what this passage is saying. Faith is certain. It's not we hope that there's a God out there. We hope that he's returning back. No, I know he's coming back, don't you? That was pretty weak. You know, we know that he's coming back. We know that he's going to establish his kingdom here on this earth. Some of you may have caught David Jeremiah this morning. He comes on at 7 o'clock. It's kind of early, but I enjoy that. He's been preaching, teaching a series through about heaven. And this morning he talked about the millennium, that period of 1,000 years here on earth when the Lord Jesus will establish his kingdom and he will reign in righteousness. I believe that with all my heart. I trust that you do. That's the hope that we have. And it's a sure hope. And so the writer of Hebrews wants to explain really what faith is all about, because if you've read through the book of Hebrews, you know it's addressed to those who were wavering in some way. Perhaps believers, but their faith was being questioned because of persecution and other things. And so the entire book of Hebrews is a challenge to our faith, because the Lord Jesus is better than all that the Old Testament offered. He's better than angels, better than the Levitical priesthood, because his ministry was based on a better covenant, Hebrews chapter 8 tells us. And so since he is so much better, we can place our faith in him and be assured of everything that he promised and said he will do. And that's what Hebrews chapter 11 is trying to do, is to encourage us by showing us what real faith is. And then later on in Hebrews chapter 11, there are just countless examples from Old Testament men and women who demonstrated that faith. And here in the first seven verses, we have just a little snippet of that without getting into the rest of the chapter. So if you're doing an outline or taking notes, let me give you Roman numeral 1. Faith is able to grasp what the eye cannot see. Faith is able to grasp what the eye cannot see. According to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, faith which pleases God is expressed by two key elements that we've already looked at in some way, but let's take a closer look. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Assurance, or the King James says, the substance of things hoped for. Generally speaking, this word stands for the reality behind what appears, the reality of what we cannot see. When I was going to school at the college, we had some classes on apologetics, and we talked about some of the ancients and the philosophies that they had. I can't get all the names right with all the theories that they put forth. You can correct me later on if you would like to do that. I'd welcome that. But some of them talked about objects that you can't see that were the substance of things that we do see. And in a sense, that's what the writer of Hebrews is talking about. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We believe there's a God, even though we do not see him. We believe that he's there, don't we? Trust that you do. This word literally means, we're talking about the first word there, assurance or substance, literally means that which is placed under. There's another nuance of the word. It comes from a Greek document dated around 104 AD. It's not part of the Bible, but this word shows up in an ancient document. And there, this word was used to establish the rightful owner of property that had been deeded to another. That is, the one who held the title deed. A.T. Robertson, a recognized Greek scholar, says, the title deed of things hoped for. So when we read that passage, now faith is the assurance, he's saying it's the title deed. It's what makes it real for us. It gives us that possession or conviction that what I believe in is true. There is no doubt in my faith. There's no cracks in the wall, in other words. Does that make sense? What he's telling us about faith. You remember, he's writing to individuals who believe, but they're wavering. And he wants to tell them what true faith is really all about. Our faith is the conviction, that is, that title deed that secures all that we have hoped for in Christ Jesus, that it is a reality and not just a dream or a hope-so. I can take it to the bank. We're looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's real to us, or I trust that it's real to you. Not only is it the substance or the assurance of things hoped for, but the conviction of things not seen, or the evidence of things not seen. In light of their current circumstances, some may have been convinced that there was not enough empirical evidence to believe in Jesus. And you know, we hear that today. People would say something like, well, I would believe, but you know, I just don't see it. I'd believe in creation, but I don't see the evidence. Well, you know, the the atheist or the evolutionist, they see the same evidence that you and I see, don't they? For us, we see evidence all around us that there is a great God and Creator. I was watching something on television the other day, and almost immediately it comes out, 50, 70 million years ago, this developed. And, I thought, what foolishness. I like Ken Ham's answer or question to them. Were you there, 70 million years ago when this supposedly happened? And the answer is no. And then you see all these magnificent drawings of what these things look like. Like when they were digging around, there was a Polaroid photograph, to show them what it looked like 70 million years ago. No, that's not true either. All they have is a little bone fragment like that, and out of that they create this huge, enormous thing and put skin on it or feathers and claws and tell us this is what it was. And then it evolved into this. Really? You're talking about faith. That takes faith to believe something like that. Unfounded faith, granted. But I would rather believe what the Word of God says. That in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In fact, the writer of Hebrews is going to talk about that in verse 3 in just a moment. So, God gives us the answer to what genuine faith is. It's the assurance of things hoped for. It's the conviction of things not seen, that these are realities and not just hope-so things. Thus, your circumstances today, and I'm sure that you're all going through something. In fact, if we would just take a break here and give about 5 or 10 minutes and ask what's going on in your life, I suspect every hand would go up. I've got a story to tell about the circumstances of my life that challenge my faith. Thus, the circumstances really shouldn't impede your faith in any way, because our faith doesn't rest on the things that we see, does it? Does it? I couldn't tell you the times in my life when either personally or Bonnie and I have gone through difficult things. And God didn't send us an email and say, just hang in there, or call us on the phone, or give us some sign from heaven. But we believe that His promises are true. We believe that He will never forsake us or leave us. That's His promise, Hebrews 13:5. We believe that even when bad things happen, and they do, don't they? Don't bad things happen to good people? Or I realize that's a book title and not necessarily accurate, but you get the point. Don't we believe that God is able to make all things work together for good to those that love Him? Now, the Scripture doesn't tell us that we'll be able to see the good that God will make. He doesn't even tell us that it will happen in our lifetime, does He? The promise is that He will make all things work together for good. I choose to believe that. Even though I don't understand a lot of things that happen in my life or why or to people around me, I still believe that God is good on His Word, and we can trust Him in that. So don't allow your circumstances to challenge your faith, because genuine faith looks beyond what we cannot see and rests solely on the Word of God. And in that, we have assurance, a sure hope, and confidence that God will do what He says. So, faith is able to grasp what the eye cannot see, the writer of Hebrews tells us. Secondly, faith can be demonstrated in all areas of life. Beginning in verse 2, he says, "For by it," that is faith, "for by it the men of old," actually that's the word for elder, and some translation probably has the word elders there. It's can mean elder as an older, honorable person. It's also used in the New Testament for a designated leader. It's the word presbyteros. We get our word presbytery from it. And it simply means an elder-type person, but it's used for those that we would honor as leaders as well. But what he's saying here, for by it the men of old, or the forefathers of our faith, and you could go all the way back to Adam. In fact, through the rest of chapter 11, he's going to talk about those elders and the type of faith that they had and how they demonstrated what they really believed. By verse 2, for by it the men of old gained approval. Gained approval. Gained approval is the word for martyr, and it means to bear testimony or witness of someone. Did you know the word in the scriptures for a testimony is the word for martyr? The connection is that they often died for what they believed. And so they gained testimony, or they gained approval by their faith. You could say that God saw what they did and took note of that. There's a passage in the Old Testament that says, the death of his saints is precious to God, or precious in the sight of God is the death of his saints. In other words, their lives had value, and God took note of that. Aren't you glad that God's taking notes, that he's aware of how you live your life? Well, maybe you'd rather he didn't see how you're living your life. I don't know what you're doing. But the point is that God is aware of how we live, the faith that we demonstrate, and that we live by our faith. And God takes note of that. And that's really the point here in verse 2. For by it, that is, for by their faith, men of old gained approval. It's sort of a preface, verse 2. Noteworthy or honorable with God. Difficult things like creation or unbelief that these people would have faced, they chose to believe God. When you get into verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Faith is the portal that enables us to see what's beyond man's comprehension, even the creation of the heavens and the earth. So faith can be demonstrated in all areas of life. That's Roman numeral 2. Just ignore that telephone out there. Somebody probably has the wrong number. So faith can be demonstrated in all areas of life. Faith here is the portal that enables us to see really what you can't comprehend. We just take it by faith. I can't think of anything that's more challenging to us is the area of creation. We've already alluded to that just a moment ago. But you think about those who reject God and all the theories that they propose about life here on earth, or the universe even. That we evolve from nothing. Well, you know, science will tell them that nothing comes from nothing. And yet they have this hypothesis that they have now moved into the area of being fact. I know they teach that in school. It's fact that we evolved from nothing. Well, it'd be interesting to have nothing, put it in a vacuum, and watch it for the next million years and see what happens there. I can tell you exactly what will happen. Nothing. Because nothing comes from nothing. And now they've got this idea that human life was somehow seeded from an alien life. You know, it goes to the ridiculous. But since they don't have a whole lot to go with here on earth, they're just sort of pulling at straws. I read a number of years ago that even many of the evolutionists no more believe evolution. They say the evidence simply is not there. But because of peer pressure, they remain within that camp, even though the evidence supports quick creation. The evidence supports a young earth, not an old earth. I don't want to go down a rabbit trail here, but I don't know, some of you might remember back in the 60s when we put a man on the moon. I hope you're not one of the disbelievers of that. Nonetheless, one of the things that was not published, but a fear that they had, was since the universe was millions, billions of years old, they were afraid that the moon dust would be so deep that when the astronauts finally landed, that their capsule would just sink perhaps as much as 200 feet into the dust. And that would seem reasonable if it was a billion years old, wouldn't it? But you know what happened when they landed? There was hardly enough dust to even make a footprint. Probably the reason, because I think the moon's only about 6,000 years old, maybe 7. Because that's what the Scripture teaches. And so the writer of Hebrews is telling us, by faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God. Why do we understand that? Because in Genesis 1:1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so we believe it. And that settles the argument, doesn't it? It's sort of sad over the years how Christians have capitulated and bought into theories about creation and where we all came from, when the Bible is so clear and simple in its statement that God created it. It's interesting as well here in verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were, actually it's the word for ages there, aeon, were prepared by the Word of God, by the Word of God. You see, that's the same thing that the writer of Genesis, Moses, told us, wasn't it? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were created by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And of course, we know that the Creator is really the Lord Jesus, the second person of the Trinity. He was the Creator. According to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, not only is He the great Creator, but by His power He holds all things together. You know, we got all these molecules and atoms are just bumping around, moving all over the place, and you wonder why they just don't all come apart. Because the Lord Jesus holds everything in its place. Well, we're looking at faith. Faith is able to grasp what the eye cannot see. Faith can be demonstrated in all areas of life. It is the portal that enables us to see what's beyond comprehension, like the creation of the heavens and earth. Faith is the deciding factor in what God approves as an acceptable sacrifice. Verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. We're simply learning here that Abel offered to God his sacrifice by faith. We're not going to go into a lot of detail here about the difference why Abel's sacrifice was accepted and Cain's was rejected. The text simply tells us that Abel offered his sacrifice in faith to God, and God accepted what he offered. Did you know the New Testament tells us in Romans chapter 14, I believe in verse 14 through verse 23, that anything that we do that we're not convinced that it is right, or if we don't do it by faith, that is sin. Things that we do that might violate our own conscience. So we believe something is right and we act on it. And that's what Abel did when he offered his sacrifice. God obviously had given them some instruction about their sacrifice, and Abel did what God had instructed. And he offered it by faith, believing that this would please God. And you know what? It did. Because he did it out of his faith. I'm so glad that God sees our heart and not always our actions, because I'm afraid that sometimes we do things out of faith, believing it's right and it's not. But you know, my God is able to take all things or make all things work together for good to those that love him. Now, we're not saying that that's an excuse to sin or do things wrong. We're simply saying that we don't always get it right, do we? And sometimes we mess up big time. But that's okay. I've got a God who's able to correct my mistakes and keep me on track. So faith is the portal that enables one to see what is beyond man's comprehension, things that we really don't understand, but the Bible speaks to it, and I believe it. Faith is the deciding factor in what God approves as an acceptable sacrifice. Faith is the key that sets one's life apart uniquely to God. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God took him, for he obtained a witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. Well, why would God be so pleased with Enoch? Because Enoch lived by faith. And he believed God, and he walked with God. Was Enoch a perfect man? No. Did Enoch sin? I know that he did, because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the biblical record about Enoch's life was that he was an upright man who walked with God. An indication that he believed God and trusted God. So much so that God took him. He just took him. That'd be great, wouldn't it? If God was so pleased with you, I'm just going to take you home. And sometimes those of us who are left, we get upset with God because he took somebody. But you know, that's really an honor for those who love the Lord, isn't it? When we pass from this life, where do we go? Directly to be with the Lord Jesus. So, faith is not only the key that sets one's life apart to God, like Enoch. Faith is the deciding factor in what God approves as acceptable and he sacrificed, like Abel. But faith is also the catalyst that moves men to action. When we believe something strong enough and we have instruction on what we ought to do, then we don't hesitate to move or act, do we? Look at verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. You know, you look at Noah's life, and it's really quite amazing, isn't it? That God told him it was going to rain. I don't think Noah had any indication what rain was. The scripture seems to indicate that God gave us moisture in another way other than rain prior to that. He told Noah it's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. You need to build an ark. It would be easy to understand if Noah just burst out laughing. This is ridiculous. I'm not building no ark. I don't even know what rain is. But you know what Noah did? For the next 120 years, he worked on an ark. I'm sure that people around him ridiculed him. I don't know what the terrain would have been like, but I can just see it out in the big field somewhere. Here he and his family are working on this big boat. But Noah never despaired, did he? Because that's what faith does. Faith goes against what everybody else is saying. Faith doesn't care if it's ridiculed or belittled, because faith is the assurance of things that we cannot see. The conviction of what we hope for is real. And so we move on our faith, don't we? I've known just scores of people in my lifetime who have given up good jobs believing that God had called them into the ministry. Great careers, and they set it all aside. A good friend of mine I met probably 10 years ago, his name is Eric Mock. Any of you know who Eric Mock is? Probably not. Oh, we do have someone that knows. Eric is a good friend of ours. He and his wife, Christy, they've been in our home a number of times. Eric helped design the space station that's up there right now. He was a NASA engineer, traveled all over the world for them, and he got saved. And now you know what he does? He's involved with Slavic Gospel Association, and he's in Russia and Ukraine all the time. Still travels a lot, but now he serves the Lord. Brilliant man. Why would he do that? All the prestige and the money and the influence, because of his faith. You see, his faith moved him. And when he felt that God was calling him into missions, he didn't even hesitate to give up all of that and go work for God. Now, God isn't calling everyone into missions, but I could tell you that story about other people over and over again who've given up a lot to serve the Lord. And it may seem like we give up something here, but in the long run, in eternity, God will reward those who act on their faith, just like he did Noah. So you're starting to get a picture of what real faith is all about. Faith is the thing that we do that pleases God, our sacrifices. Faith is what moves us to do great things when God asks us to. Faith is able to see through the fog of all the lies that are out there so that we know what the truth is. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 31, that those who abide in my word are my disciples indeed, and they shall know the truth, and the truth shall set them free. I hope you're living by faith. So faith is able to grasp what the eye cannot see. Faith can be demonstrated in all areas of life. And then finally in verse 6, faith is the indispensable factor to pleasing God. You really can't please God with your life without faith. Probably many of you could quote Hebrews 11:6, but let me read it for you. And without faith, it is nearly impossible. Is that what your Bible says? It didn't, did it? Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. God is pleased with your life when you act on your faith. Because without faith, we cannot please him. James talks about the wavering of our faith. It's like the wave that tosses us to and fro. But those who have a genuine faith and exercise that faith, God is pleased with them. You know, I often wonder if God is pleased with my life. Do you ever wonder that? You're still with me, aren't you? You ever wonder whether God's pleased with what you're doing, how you're living? Well, I can tell you, based on God's word, that if you're living by faith, then God is pleased with your life. Because that's what the Bible says, isn't it? It says it in a negative way, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. That would indicate, with faith, it's possible that I can live a life that's pleasing to God. So God is pleased with your life when you act on your faith. We're not saying that there are not other factors when it comes to pleasing God, but without faith, there's no possibility of pleasing him. That's where it all begins, is believing. Well, believing just what? Well, there are two things mentioned as necessary in one's initial pursuit of God. First of all, his existence, and secondly, his benevolence or his goodness. It says in verse 6, "For he who comes to God must believe what?" What must you believe if you come to God? You are with me, aren't you? You can answer. What's it say? That he is, that he exists, that he's there. So we believe that there is a God. And so, by faith, I come to him believing that he is there. Not only is he there, but that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. I like that, don't you? That God doesn't say, "Well, what are you doing here? Get out of here. I don't have no time for you." No, when we come to God in faith, the Bible tells us that God rewards that. Doesn't explain how here in this passage. Actually, the word for reward here is a word that means to pay wages, to give something for what you've done. It can also be in a bad sense, but here it's obviously God is going to give us something good because we have sought him out. You know, the Lord will be in debt to no one. And those who truly seek him, serve him, live by faith. Eye has not seen or ear heard the things that God has prepared for those that love him. So I hope you're living by faith this morning. That you don't allow the circumstances of life to impede your life for God. That you don't stumble over every little thing that happens and wonder if God is still there. Let me assure you that he is, that he has not forsaken you. And God allows trials and tribulations to come into our life to try our faith, to see what it's really made out of. By the way, God already knows all about your faith. You know that, don't you? He allows trials in our life so that we know where our faith is. And maybe I need to work on it a little here or a little there in the things that I believe. Well, in closing, walking by faith is challenging, especially during difficult times. When everything's going okay, it's pretty easy to live by faith, isn't it? But when things go bad and difficulty comes, in whatever fashion that might be, that's a challenge to our faith. And that's really what the writer of Hebrews is wanting to convey to his readers. Because they too were facing difficulty. Warren Wiersbe once said, "The best way to grow in faith is to walk with the faithful." I kind of like that, don't you? That we need to hang around people who are faithful people. And that begins to rub off on us. We see how they live and how they handle difficulties. The thing we're observing today in the church seems to be just the opposite. Instead of becoming more faithful, we're pulling back into the world and the ways of the world to appease ourselves. You can call it old-fashioned, outdated, or even legalistic if you want. But the fact of the matter is that God has not lowered His standard in His Word. And if we're to live by faith, that means obeying His Word and walking with Him. Trust and obey, the hymn writer said, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Let's pray. We thank You, Father, for our time together this morning. We thank You for this encouraging word from the book of Hebrews about faith. Perhaps You've challenged us in some way today about where our faith is in relation to the standard that You've given. We pray that our faith would be able to look through the difficulties of life, that our hope in You is real and solid, that there's no doubts, no cracks in what we believe, because it's based on Your Word, the Word that created the heavens and earth, the Word that can sustain us each and every day until the Lord's return. In His name we pray. Amen.